Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
All right, welcome to that nerd show. We're back, and Skynet is not affecting the show tonight, so we're going to rock and roll. Yes. We've had some technical difficulties over the past few weeks, but we're all here. I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Blake, and with me, as always, is Brendan.
Hello, everybody.
And with us, who has not been on for a while, is Allison Costa, our TV blogger.
Hi, everybody.
And I'm sure she has plenty to say about Arrow and The Flash, as we get to it a little bit later.
Don't we all?
But before we do that, we're not going to do a news rundown because you can pretty much go to our Facebook page and get that rundown. Thanks to David Herring, who does a good job updating with stuff around the web. But we do want to go ahead and do a quick movie review. The movie Good Kill with Ethan Hawke. This is kind of right up Brendan and I's alley because we do like war pictures and political thrillers and stuff like that. But we happened to get a screener of it, and it came out about a week ago. It's actually on demand and places like that. So we'll jump right into it, and then we'll get to what we think about our favorite shows on TV and how they all ended. So, Good Kill with Ethan Hawke. I will say this. I think it's one of the better performances he's done in a while. Not that he's a bad actor at all,
he
has a little bit more of a season. Yeah. No, that is very true. I liked it. You know, I mean, it's a cautionary tale. It very much raises a good political argument about the use of drones. And, I don't think most people realize how many pilots have actually been grounded in the Navy and the Air Force now because of drones, because there isn't a need to have an actual pilot. And Brendan and I both know pilots that, you know, have complained about this. I mean, what's the use of training pilots anymore if you're not going to send them up in jets? It raises some very interesting questions with the film about the use of drones, what we're willing to do, and, the innocent people that get killed with it and stuff like that. And at the same time, I very much enjoyed the jokes about video games that really all you need to do is learn how to play games on Xbox or PS3 and you're trained as a drone pilot. So I would honestly give this a good 7 out of 10. It's a good movie, not a great movie, but it is definitely worth watching, and it's got a very good cast in it. So what did you think, Brendan?
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I would give it a 6 out of 10, and then only because of Bruce Greenwood and Ethan Hawke's performances. Because I thought Ethan Hawke did a really good job of conveying some of the problems with PTSD, about guys not wanting to talk about it.
Right.
You know, also about how, you know, he was this guy who, you know, he has a very honorable attitude towards warfare. You know, he doesn't like the drones because he feels like it was at least a fair fight when he was in his plane, because if he got shot down, he had a chance of dying. Whereas if the plane gets shot down now, they just send up another one and hook him into another one. But the rest of the characters just were, to me, really one-dimensional, and two of them stick out. The first one would be the staff sergeant, who was the just absolute caricature of a gung-ho military guy that Hollywood thinks that everybody in the military is. And it really pissed me off watching it, because I'm just like, I'm sorry, but nobody in the Air Force who makes staff sergeant is that bloody stupid. Because it, unlike a lot of the other services, it's hard to advance in the Air Force. They don't have a lot of billets. So once you get above senior airmen, I mean, there are people that retire at E5 and E6 because they can't make E7. So, that just really kind of irked me, because it's just everything that Hollywood always gets wrong about the military. And the guy just couldn't understand simple concepts of, hey, there's a woman and kid on the screen, let's try not to kill them. I mean, it goes right back to Full Metal Jacket. oh, how can you shoot a woman? It's easy. Just don't lead them as much. I mean, yeah, really, in 30 years of war movies, we haven't come any farther than that.
Would you recommend this film to anybody?
I'd recommend it to families, and this is getting into my problem with January Jones's character, Ethan Hawke's wife. I'd recommend it to families who are dealing with PTSD as a case manual of how not to deal with PTSD.
Okay. So you give it a 6 out of 10, right?
Right. Because okay, she just takes off on him instead of trying to help him out. So.
Right.
Well, I
don't disagree. It does raise a lot of issues, and it's issues that need to be talked about. But, you know, like I said, it's not a great movie. It could have been better, but it's definitely not the worst movie.
But like I said, Bruce Greenwood and Ethan Hawke's performances were both very good.
Okay. Well, and there you have it. That's where we come down on this. Okay, so we're going to jump right into season finales and all of our favorite shows. And we're going to kick off with Person of Interest. So I was talking with Allison before the show, mm-hmm. and you brought up something interesting that you just haven't been able to get into this season like you have other seasons, right?
I haven't. I feel bad. It's not that it's horrible. It's just there's so much, you know, there's so much good TV on right now that, you know, and you only have so much limited time that I watch a lot of my shows on DVR or demand or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I just, you know, like, I'll watch it, and I feel like the episodes, the storyline this season hasn't, like, really, like, they don't all go together necessarily. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I watch it, and it doesn't even seem to matter if I didn't watch the episode before. I don't know. It hasn't grabbed my attention, but maybe that's just me. But, yeah, I just kind of, it's okay. It just hasn't been as gripping. I do miss Shaw a lot.
Which she will be
just,
back.
Right.
She will be back. Yeah. She was pregnant, so...
Yeah.
You know, the actress was actually pregnant during filming,
yeah.
so they had to write her out for a while.
Yeah.
But I think the real reason why a lot of people are kind of down on this season is this is very much, I think, once this season is, you know, or once the whole show is gone and we can look back on it as a whole, this whole season is very much their Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have kind of hit their plateau. You know, you
yeah.
really, what are you going to do when you've got two, you know, go beyond the storyline of two warring AIs and one's going to kind of come out on top, and you've discussed
yeah.
the issues of them being like gods going at it. And, you know, I mean, you've definitely dealt with a great mythological type of story and warring gods and whatnot. And in today's world, it's artificial intelligence. You know, it's neat to see these band of characters come together and have a purpose in life more than just, you know, watching two people do it. And I'm with you. I miss Shaw, but you know, and I love Root. You know, and I love the awkward kind of friendship she has. You know, with what's his face, but it's getting to the point now. It's like. Yeah, it's like, okay, you kind of need to...
But even, you need to, like, even the individual, even like the, and you know, like I get that there, you know, all of the shows have like, you know, a plot for that one episode, but then there's supposed to be something continuous from episode to episode that ties
right.
the whole season together, and I haven't really felt that from them. It's like, I don't know, it's almost like sitcom-ish in that like there's like one episode, and like they might mention one or two things that are ongoing, but I don't know, just it hasn't... And even the individual plots from some episodes, some of them have just been downright dumb to me. I'm like, really? Why do I care about this? So, there has been some good things. I did like a couple of, like, you know, the little love interest thing for Caviezel's character and
right.
a few others. For, you know, a few, you know, there have been a couple good things, but just with all the other good shows out there, I don't feel like it's kept up its momentum the same way as a lot of shows have.
I love what... I loved what's his face? The mobster. I can't remember his name now.
We're drawing a blank.
The short bald guy with the glasses.
Yes. Oh, the guy that used to be in Veronica Mars. That one.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
He was the sheriff.
He was also in. Galaxy Quest. You
yeah,
are on
yeah.
I hope. Anyway,
yeah, I like him.
he's awesome, and his revenge on Dominic was amazing.
Yeah,
the
that
way
was good.
He set Dominic up, he is the best in that. He's actually he's not my favorite character on the show. He's damn close, which I was
yeah.
really
well,
sad to see him die. But
well, he's been a lot of fun. I do miss the episodes of, you know, really where they're helping individuals and it's not necessarily all tying into the overall story.
I think that's what I miss more too. I love the numbers coming up, and they've been so big on the whole Samaritan thing and doing that so much that it's kind of taken away. It's supposed to be person of interest. It's like it's machine of interest. Like I don't know. That part hasn't got to.
Well, you know, I think you definitely need to tell this story, yes. And because there's an overall story to it, and it's about what's going to happen and who's going to triumph and all that. But you need to get back to doing what originally, why all these people have a purpose and the people that they're saving. I think one of my favorite, individual episodes was about the Wall Street kid who, you know, his uncle's food truck business, investing money, that he was losing the money, and then, you know, they had to come in, and he found a way to be able to save everything and expand the business and also feed homeless people. And you got to meet someone along the way that had helped John when he was actually homeless and, you know, depressed. And, you know, you need those kind of feel-good type of stories. I'm not saying every week, but we haven't had a lot of that. And so, you know, you get away from what your show originally started out as, then it's kind of like maybe it's time to be done with it. So,
although
I
did like it.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. I'm going to segue into something else. So finish.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I did like how at the end in the last episode, you know, the machine was sending them all over the place, and, you know, they run into people that they've helped along the way, and those guys know, like, I'm alive because of you. Take whatever you need. You don't have to steal it. You just have to ask. So that was really cool. And a quick note, the actor's name is Enrico Colatoni, and character name was Carl Elias. So anyway, just because that was going to bug me the entire show if I didn't find out.
Damn it, we didn't have IMDb yet before we started.
Yes, so now, segue away.
I will say this. I mean, it's still been a good season, and the season overall I would give 7 out of 10, but it hasn't been the best season. And I think they should do one more go out on top, do one more season, and have what I like to call the Carl Reiner format, 5 good seasons and be done with your show. And if, for those of you that don't know my reference, Carl Reiner wrote the Dick Van Dyke Show back in the 60s, and they were the number one rated show after 5 years, and he ended it. And as always said, you go out on top and don't drag your show on. There's too many of these shows that we have loved that have lasted.
Oh, my gosh, 15 seasons. What the heck?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
hey, look at Babylon 5. I still watch. I go back and rewatch Babylon 5 about once a year, and that's only a 5-season show. And it was basically a TV novel. I mean, everything is connected. It's written beautifully. Not the greatest special effects in the world because they didn't have the budget of another show that was about space stations like DS9 or something. But it's got fantastic acting and great storytelling, and it was a 5-year arc.
Right. So real quick, we're not going to spend a whole lot of on this one, but we do have to talk about Castle, only because
Nathan
fell in.
That's so funny. That's a good segue. I was hoping you'd go from there to Castle because I felt similar.
Yeah,
because
we've had these
feelings. Yeah,
we've had these conversations about Castle. It's like, are you ending the show anytime? Because you've kind of jumped the shark here. You haven't been cohesive. And
it was all over the place this season. There were some episodes that were like, you know, you had the 2 episodes with the Triple X killer that were like super intense and bringing stuff back and like great action, all the stuff like out of nowhere. And then like you have an episode where, you know, they're spoofing and like solving a mystery on some Mars. You know what I mean? Like what was the one with the Mars simulation?
Yeah,
you know, but like not, it's just not connected to anything. And I'm like, what the heck?
All that one did was serve to feed our geek moments with Castle.
Yeah, exactly. The actual plot of that story and like the murder thing itself is just kind of lame. That I'm like, what is?
And
this? But it's kind of the same thing. And I
just really wasn't thrilled with how they ended the season with them wanting Beckett to run for Senate.
I know.
I was like, really? So you're going to – I mean, that she has to say no to that because otherwise it completely changes the – I mean, forget about
it
what person
of
interest did
of
changing
yeah.
the dynamic. Yeah, I mean, it's not even the same show anymore.
No, no.
Right. But then again, isn't that the perfect way to end what they had? I mean, I kind of thought
well, – that's why I thought it was like a series ending between the fact that it's like, you know, she gets this offer and he's like, yeah, you should go for it, and then – he gets this award and thanks everybody good in his life.
Well,
and they have their little
yeah, you know what it, you know what it is.
Congrats to you, and then you're off. I was like, okay, is the show over?
Stanley Kotick hasn't signed a new contract. Her contract is up, so it. They don't. While ABC is saying yes, the show is still on. You know,
she
if she's not coming back, what do you?
And
well,
honestly, when that episode was filmed. Nathan Fillion hadn't signed his contract either. So they probably wrote it to seem like a series finale, but left themselves an out for next season.
And that's very smart of them, because if you're not going to have a show beyond this, then you have this great way of, you know, saying our lives are changing, let's go solve a murder.
If it doesn't come back, I'm not going to be stressed out because it's like, okay, we're okay. But if it does,
right.
then you're like, oh. But there's a couple of shows this season that really pissed me off that they're not coming back and they're like total cliffhangers. And I freaking hate when that happens to the show because you're always like, what happened? I hate that so badly. So,
I thought this show should have ended when they finally decided to, you know, get married and be in love and. You know, they have pretty much solved her mother's murder. And I'm like, you've done really what the... I mean, isn't that the whole point is for them to get past all of the sexual tension? Because, I mean...
I think you're right there, because generally when most shows, when they do that, when they do get to the point where the love interest gets married, it usually does go downhill.
Well, and I'll bring up this example only because the show is coming back, but it's a good example of a show that carried on too long. I love the X-Files. I'm glad they're bringing it back, and we're definitely going to be talking about it, okay? But that show should have ended after about 7 seasons. Maybe the 8th, because you did have a great storyline with Mulder getting, you know, abducted and blah, blah, blah. But season 9 was totally pointless, except really for the last show. And, you know, I didn't want to see an episode where the lone gunman died.
And,
I'm sorry.
And, you know,
I didn't.
And, you
but,
know,
but,
I think... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
But my point is, at the very end, when they have done all of this and exposed and they're sitting in a hotel room very much like the very first episode, and, you know, you've seen all this tension between them that they are kind of falling in love, and she tells him, I have followed you for 9 years, and I will still do that into the darkness, you know, and I go where you go, and that's our lives together. Okay, I thought that's a great way to end it. You just should have done it 2 seasons before. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I think 24 has shown that if a show has, you know, if it's a great show and it has a huge following, but it's kind of overstayed its welcome creatively, it's okay to cancel it and give it 3, 4, 5 years, or in X-Files case, 10, 15 years, and you can come back to it later. And it will still
will be
work,
excited
you know?
Again. Yeah, people will be
yeah,
excited
and you can,
again.
People
so,
will be excited
oh, yeah.
again.
Right.
And,
yeah.
you know, so I think 24 has really paved the way for a lot of other shows that we loved from 10, 15, 20 years ago to maybe come back in a you know, mini-series format. And I hope to see that. You know, there's other good shows out there that I'd love to see get a second life. So.
Well, we are – NBC
and
is
And maybe
bringing
that
could
be an
back.
Idea for another show. Yeah. NBC's bringing Coach back. That's right. But, I mean, maybe that's an idea for another show we could have down the road, shows that we'd like to see get the X-Files and 24 treatment.
Get the
right.
reboot.
So, well, we'll see what happens with Castle, but if it does come back for one more season, honest to God, as much as
that
I love
Nathan
Fillion.
They just need to pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They need to pick it up and not have – I mean, it's hard because I there's certain cheesy elements that I like, but when the entire – plot is cheesy. I like the cheesy jokes and the cheesy back and forth. Like that's part of what its charm. But if the plot is lame, like I can't do a lame plot and cheesy jokes. It's too much.
Yeah.
So they need to kind of, you know, have the writing
right.
Step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody else needs to be serious, so Castle can be cheesy and it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
right.
Everything's cheesy, it's too much cheese, and I don't have a big enough bottle
it's
of wine.
Too much. You know, and especially like with the actual, you know, the actual plot of the, you know, each episode, it gets to be so ridiculously lame that it's like. Like, I liked the, they had a couple of them that were good that then ended up kind of going lame afterwards, like the season, well, I'm calling it the season finale, but whether it's the series or not. I did like that we got this whole revisit into the cast of the side we've never seen before, that this is why he became a mystery writer, that he
right.
saw something in the woods, and that was very
that
cool.
That was actually a very good plot. That was a
yeah,
very
it was
well
very cool,
plot.
And it was like, you know, it was a good, it was finally like a good plot and a serious murder, and there was like the suspense and some stuff there. Some of them have just been like, it's supposed to be murder, and it's just, it's been like plain clue, you know, like they haven't, okay, who was it, the candlestick, Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, you
so
only need one
just,
episode a season that is kind of goofy just so Castle can get his geek on.
Right,
so what's going
yeah.
On?
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. So, while we've complained about it all year long, did anybody actually finish Gotham?
No.
We changed our opinions about that show at all.
It's in
no,
my DVR. I will say it's in my DVR, but I skip it every time I go down.
You'll get to it when you get to it.
When there's absolutely nothing else on and maybe I'm up with a sick child, it will happen.
I just rewatched 3 seasons of Babylon 5 so I can avoid watching the season finale of Gotham. I gave it to the mid-season finale, and I gave it a decent shot.
I couldn't even do that. I gave it like 2 episodes.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. I went back for 1 3 episode arc toward the end of the season only because Milo Ventimiglia, who was Peter on Heroes, was on it, and he did a great job as a great job as a psychopathic serial killer. And so I watched that 3 episode arc only for him, and then I
why do
we
think it's so unsuccessful? Because there's a lot of actors in there that I like, and I was really excited about the premise. I don't know why, I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know.
I can tell you why. Because the writing sucks.
Yeah.
The acting isn't much better, except for a few bright spots. The Penguin's
characters,
good.
Yeah.
The Penguin's good, and Gary Oldman's good.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they had taken the Daredevil approach and focused exclusively on Penguin and Gary, not Gary Oldman, but Commissioner Gordon, I just had a slip of the tongue there because I loved Gary Oldman's Commissioner Gordon. But
yeah.
If you just
yeah.
focused on Commissioner Gordon and the Penguin, like Daredevil focused on Matt Murdock and Kingpin, it would have been phenomenal. But they didn't. They tried the shotgun effect where every single villain in the rogues gallery for Batman was in season 1 and had no real reason to be there. Did we need Poison Ivy in that season? I don't think so.
Yeah, see, I think I didn't even get that far, so I don't even know. I mean, I literally think I watched the first 2
episodes.
They
had like an 11-year-old Poison Ivy, and she was she was like
Locking
brain dead. So it was,
I'm going to sum it up with this, because I've been saying this to all the people that love Gotham. Nobody gives a shit about Bruce Wayne when he's 13. If he's starting to train as Batman, we care. Okay? That's why the movie Batman Begins is great. But
honestly,
I don't care about
show,
him as a child.
This show should have been a 13-episode season that focused exclusively on Gordon and Penguin, and then after the season, they should have skipped 5 years forward to where
Bruce
is 18 and starting to train.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Or you could have done what Arrow did, where you arrive at a certain point, but you get all this backstory
background
in between with each episode.
That would have worked too.
We're just now hitting the tip of the iceberg of what happened with Arrow at season 3 with all the backstory, and it's been great.
Oh my god!
And we're gonna get there, just not quite yet. Just hold on, everybody.
Okay, where are you going next? Because I know you guys are not soccer fans, but I do. When you get there, I do have to do a little rant on soccer because I really am ticked off about this.
No, go ahead.
I know you guys didn't watch it at all, did you? Or get into it at all or anything? So probably, I know you guys aren't into the whole crime thing, but There's so many, like, crime series out there for murder stuff. You know, that how many NCISs are there now? I don't even know. There's, like, 20 of them in every city in America.
Yeah.
Who knows? What I love about Stalker is that it's not that kind of murder show for the most part. The show.
What's the show? I can't hear what you're saying. What's the show?
Stalker.
Oh, Stalker. Yes, I did watch it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, anyways, what I loved about it is I love that it had all the suspense and crazy without necessarily having to have all the killing. I mean, there are a few episodes where people die, and obviously, but lots of times they actually save them. And anyways,
it was
Hitchcockian. It was what?
It was Hitchcockian. There,
it was
emphasized suspense,
I mean,
rather than gore.
And they had great stories and all this kind of stuff. And I just am still, I cannot believe that when I was watching it, I'm like, you know, we're waiting to get to the pause, you come back, and I have a bunch of friends that got into it and just really liked it. And then when I was looking at the little info thing, it said, seriously, I had no idea it was the series finale. I thought it was the season finale. And it leaves you totally hanging. There's like a huge, I mean, it's like this woman has come in that she's from the FBI, and her ex-husband that, you know, was accused of murder all these years before and acquitted, whatever. Like, you end up finding out in like the very last 2 seconds that he really was the killer and she's alone with him, and then it's over, and then the freaking series is ended. And I'm so pissed off that I actually had to do like a little rant. It was funny, I posted something on Facebook and there was literally like 15 people that responded that are like, what the hell, what do you mean it's over? Like, nobody even knew that it was ending. So I just, sometimes I get frustrated a little bit because, you know, when they're competing with other stuff, I wonder how they do ratings. Because when you give a show and it's in the very first season, there have been so many shows that got picked up after the first season that sucked, that I don't understand how a show that is enthralling gets canceled. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's some
reasons.
Shows that I'm like, how are they still running?
I'll give you two reasons. The first reason is that shows that there's a lot of people that watch television, and shows that appeal to the least common denominator get the better ratings. So if it makes you think, most people won't watch it.
I think it was a little too intricate for some people.
Yes. And secondly, the Nielsen ratings are outdated and useless because it only takes people who only watch TV online and is only now just also incorporating DVR recordings. But it does not include any website playback or Hulu playback. So how many people watch TV on CBS.com or Hulu? Most of us, because we have things going on, because either we're working on weeknights or we have a life.
Yeah.
Especially shows like on Friday night, like Constantine got canceled.
Yeah.
Constantine was a great show, but it was on the Friday night death slot. People will watch Grimm on Friday night because they're sitting around, they're getting ready to go out for Friday night for the weekend. But at 9 o'clock, they're getting out of their house so they can get the club by 10 o'clock. So nobody's watching Constantine. I watch Constantine every Saturday morning. Where? On Hulu.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and I'm guilty of that too.
I don't watch anything
while it's playing. I never watch anything real time. So it's just. But
it
super ticked me off because it was a really good and different show. You know, every now and then, it's like, we've got so many different murder mystery shows and blah, 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 and I get that. But their whole approach was very different, and I liked that I didn't always guess what was coming. Usually I can figure things out very quickly. Like, my husband hates watching stuff with me, like, in the first 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, he's the bad guy, this is the killer. And he's like, shut up, I didn't get there. But for this one, like, there was times that I was still not sure who it was, and I had, like, those downright creepy stalker moments that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm scared to watch this alone. So I love that about it. So I'm very depressed. If you haven't watched it, when it does come out in the first season, even though it leaves you hanging, you should go back and watch the whole season because it really is very good. So that's my little rant. I'm done.
Nice.
I'll be finished now.
All right, so if we get cut off live, listeners, just hit play on our website and kind of catch up in the stream. But we will be on for another 15 minutes talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash, and The Arrow, our top shows. Yes, we saved the best for the end. But before we get there, I want to make a quick mention about The Blacklist, which we have all admitted that really the only thing that kind of really makes that show is James Spader. The girl that plays Agent Keen, she's not that great, but this season has been pretty interesting as we got to her backstory and who she really is. And I did like the way they ended it, and you know, and I thought the what James Spader calls himself, that he is a sin eater. You know, that is
that was a very cool reference.
Exactly.
I wonder how many, speaking of these common denominator, I was wondering how many people when he said that went, huh, and had to look it up.
Well, yeah, the non-Catholics. we'll put it to you that way. and in case you want a really great movie about a sin eater, go watch The Order with Heath Ledger and I just forgot his name, who played
Mark
Robert
Addy.
Baratheon. Thank you.
Mark Addy.
Yes.
All mouth, no trousers.
Yes. But anyway, Blacklist was great. Very much looking forward to the next season. I'm also getting to the point now that that show really should be about 13 episodes. It is kind of long. You know, I don't want...
That's right.
Go ahead.
13 episodes is the way to go. I mean, you get 13 action-packed episodes and no filler.
Right.
Yeah.
It just... You're stretching this kind of story out way too much. And it needs to kind of get there quicker, especially for
binge-watching. I think people just get lazy with new ideas, you know. It's like the same in the book
right.
world. It used to be trilogies, and then it was like, oh, no, now 5 books is the new 3. Now it's 7 books is the new 5. I mean, how many? It's like after a while, you know, have a story, have a beginning, middle, end, wrap it up, get all the stuff in there, and then start a new story. Like, you don't have to have the same character stretch on forever. I mean,
right.
It's okay.
Because you're not
a
very good... If you don't have any originality, you're not a very good writer. And I'm saying that with my ego as a writer. Like I'm calling you out.
Yeah.
You're not that good. And our 15-year-old or 16-year-old book blogger, she'll tear you a new one. I do like reading her book reviews sometimes. Becca Stepanian, she will call you out as an author. It's quite hilarious that if you suck, she will give you a 2 or 3 on your book.
I need to hand her a Karen Travis Star Wars book and then just wait for the fireworks.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This season was a lot better. So, and of course, it always gets really good as we get close to a Marvel movie with all the tie-ins.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump right into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What was your favorite part about it, Allison?
My favorite part, I don't know. You know I'm going to be pissed off at the whole love storyline because I'm the female here. And so I knew the ending. I knew that was going to happen to her, which I hate when, I saw him bump the cage and that little thing, and I thought, oh, crap, are you kidding me? He opened it. He doesn't even realize it. So I knew that was going to happen to her, and she's going to get sucked in there, but I'm still pissed about it that it happened because I think their little dorky back-and-forth romance is so cute. So Gemma and Fitz, I was kind of pissed off about that, but we'll see what happens. Favorite part, I don't know, I had a lot of great moments. I was a little shocked and surprised when Coulson got his hand cut off. It came out of nowhere.
That was awesome.
I was like, what? I didn't really see that coming. I mean, it makes sense that he did it, but I really like Max's character. He's one of my favorites. So I was glad when they came back. There's a lot of good things I like.
Mac had the greatest line in the finale too.
Which part? Which one did you say? Which one?
What's your name? Oh, I'm Andrew. What's your name? I'm the guy that's going to kill Andrew. That's just boom. Drop the mic.
Well, you know, they started out so slow, and it didn't really pick up until last year when we got around to Captain America 2. I mean, do you guys feel that this year really just kind of brought everything together and made the show a whole lot better?
It did. It was hard. It was a little hard for me to get into until like the very end of the last season, and then I got into it more on the alien thing, how they do it. I did think it was a cool twist that her dad ended up being the not so crazy one. It really was her mom. I kind of saw coming. You did kind of have that whole like empathy thing for her psychotic dad, that really he was just a tool, you know. crazy, but like, you know, and I liked how they gave him his life back after everything was said and done. That's my favorite point. I just thought of it. I think my favorite part is when her and her mom are in that struggle and she realizes that she's got to stop her mom, and then her mom goes to kill her, basically suck her stuff out, and then her dad walks over and says, you don't need to have this pain. Let me take it. And you're not, and then he kills, and then he kills his mom. That was my favorite point. Because you know, I had to, he loved her too. That had to be so hard for him that he realized what she was doing at that point, and he had that total change of character. So I think that was my favorite part.
And you know, people really got off on got mad at that online, and I was just like, why? They're like, well,
why?
He didn't pay for his crimes. Yes, he did. His personality is gone. It's erased.
Yes.
It's like a death penalty.
Yeah.
He's like a new person.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, referencing a show that you know I talked about earlier, Babylon 5, instead of the death penalty, because they have telepaths in that world, they use the death of personality, where they completely wipe your mind, give you a new set of memories, and then send you out and to be in a mission of a life of service. You know, people become missionaries, people become, you know, janitors, whatever.
Well, and so much of what happened to him and what he did was not his fault. His wife had been messing with him and giving him stuff for years. How did that alter him? I mean, you know, at what point do you say, well,
I'm going to move us right along because we are running out of time, and I know we're going to talk a lot about the last two shows. So we're going to start with The Flash because we'll probably run a little over with that one. Arrow is still going to be my favorite show on TV, personally.
Yeah,
okay?
But The Flash finale was better.
Well, no. I love The Flash. I loved everything they did this year. I mean, the way they ended it, too, especially with the last episode, not about him catching, you know, Thawne, but actually having to make that choice of do you change the future and get your mom back and not be The Flash, or do you stick with it? Because you are helping people, and there's a reason. But
is that the reason he stuck with it, or did he stick with it because his future self looked at him and said, "No, don't do it"?
See, again, big debate. You can go either way on that. It's about it's about how you look at it. But you know, as an overall season, every episode was great. I mean, I didn't feel like I could skip an episode and, you know, be okay. It was exciting. My only complaint, actually I have two. The girl, his love interest, which I forget her name because it's
Iris.
I want to call her Christian Kruk because I hated her from Smallville. But she was so damn annoying in this show.
Which one are you talking about? You're talking about
Iris.
The detective's daughter or the
Iris.
Other love interest?
Iris,
because he did briefly have the other reporter, the other one, for a little while.
A fling. I mean, Iris is just annoying. I'm sorry, you're a whiny child.
But hold on, let's be fair there, because it's not like the writers gave her much to work with there.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want a whiny child. I mean, I would rather have had Barry get it on with Caitlin. So I just, like, come on.
Yeah,
if you're going to have a...
What she should have done is have Barry get it on with Felicity and not have that whole stupid Felicity thing in the first place, and then we wouldn't have half the problems we have in Arrow.
Right. And I'm saying this to every woman out there. Since we have a woman on the show tonight, I'm going to say this. The episode where she comes to town and they play trivia, every woman should have that black dress. Every one of you should have a black dress.
Yes. That was... Ladies and gentlemen, that was Aubrey Hepburn 2.0.
Holly Golightly,
who? Felicity always had to be with Oliver. Come on. You can't even
I know. I'm just...
No. We're two geeks. Speaking for the geeks in the world, no, she didn't. She could get more geeks.
She did. The best line that Felicity says is when she's talking to Caitlin on the episode and she has... Ray Palmer with her, whatever, and she's like, yeah, he's like totally dorky, and she says the whole line where she's like, yeah, it's like dating Barry in Oliver's body. That was a great line. That was a great line. I'm like, oh yeah, best of both worlds. So I do feel that bad for Ray too. We'll get there, but he's a good guy that he's kind of like,
I'm glad that Brandon Routh has a comic book role that is a little bit more memorable and that people are not going to hate. I mean, not that he was a bad Superman in Superman Returns. It's just that movie sucked. So it's but he's fantastic, and I'm very much looking forward to, you know, The Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, just overall, this entire season was great. I mean,
What do you think?
Well, the only reason I don't give it a perfect 10 is because of my hatred for Iris. It's not very rational, but she's just
Well, I think I was pleasantly surprised because when the show very first started, I kind of thought it was going to be, you know, cutesy and, you know, like, oh, kind of fun. We're all, you know, where Arrow is dark and more intense.
Right.
I thought, oh, this will be kind of a cutesy whatever. And even though it is definitely lighter than Arrow, I think they've had some significant tense, you know, moments and some real good drama and plot stuff that I didn't necessarily see coming. They've made it a little bit more serious while still keeping that, you know, while Barry is dark like Oliver, he still is Barry, which I like.
They fully embraced the comic-ness of The Flash, which I think was important.
Right.
And the other reason, there's a very big reason why Flash Season 1 was better than Arrow Season 3. That's because Arrow Season 2 writers, which Arrow Season 2 was amazing, was writing Flash Season 1.
And we're
the guy can write.
Arrow, we're going to run out of time, so we need to jump to Arrow. But Arrow, overall, I really liked it. There were some episodes this season that I did not care for. I have to say that kind of left me ticked and like, come on.
Right.
But
well, since we are talking about Arrow, I get that you have to kind of tell the story because it's the middle part of the, like, this 5-year journey and all of that, because they really are writing for 5 seasons. You know, it's cool to have Ra's al Ghul and be able to do all that and, you know, be on his own little mission to trade out who's going to be the next demon and all that. But it was kind of all over the place. It's the worst season they've had so far. It's not to say that it was bad. It just wasn't all there. You know,
hit last season.
Right. But I think it comes down to is you're writing 23 episodes compared to just doing 13 to 15, where you can really pack it in. I mean,
so
Sons of Anarchy.
What are your best and worst moments from the season, do you think, for you personally?
Well, I mean,
what
really
did you,
the best
what did you
moments.
What did you hate? And did anything take you guys by surprise? Or no?
I did him dying. I thought they would get to the Lazarus pit in that episode. But no. But really, probably the biggest shocker was his sister. You know, and I did remember your text like, oh, my God. It was the oh, my God moment.
See, to me, that was a low point because I knew it was going to be his sister.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she got shot, she was going to die or badly hurt. Oh, I see. To me, the high point of that season was his fight with Race, his first fight with Race. The second fight with Race was horribly choreographed, and it was all dark, and they were wearing black suits on black tarmac and a black knight. And it was just bad, but the first fight was amazing.
But
then,
the rescuing of him was pretty fun. I knew it was going to be her, and that was still pretty cute.
It was fun, and at least it gave her something to do other than cry, which is all she's done this season. Good God. Okay, that's my low point for this season, how Felicity was written. Because the first 2 years, she's fun, she's the geeky one, she always got something funny to say, it's heartfelt, it's nice, yay. This season, all she did was cry.
Yeah, but I didn't stick up for the girl here, because you're not a female, and to be torn that much between one great guy that's wonderful for you, but not the one that you're really in love with, and another guy that you're really in love with
that's
choosing to throw his life away.
That's not why she was crying, though. That's not how they wrote it. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of strong women, and strong women don't act like that. And it's totally juxtaposed with everything we... If she had been that way all along, it would have been annoying, but it would have made sense.
Yeah.
But she did a complete character 180 this year because the new writers wrote her completely different from the previous years.
However, we should see more goth Felicity. We need more goth Felicity.
Well, I have to say, I wasn't totally surprised, but I was a little bit like, oh, suck when Merlin ends up being the new Ra's al Ghul. Like, it makes sense, and if I'd been thinking ahead, I would have realized that. But when Oliver gives him the ring and has him Ra's al Ghul, I'm like, oh, crap. I was like,
Because there's going to have to be a Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Now you've kept the big name actor who actually is more physical and can do better stunts than the other guy. Because I'm sorry, Matt Nable is a terrible Ra's al Ghul. They should have gotten a better actor. I'm sure the guy's nice, but he's not Ra's al Ghul. You know, can we stop please casting white people as Asian people? Hello, Marvel, don't cast Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One and friggin' Doctor Strange. So, but yeah, I don't care if you want to make the Ancient One a woman. Just give it to an Asian woman. It's the Ancient One from Tibet. So not
my gosh, I can't think of their names. The couple that's in all his backflashes where she has to kill him.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. I do like them.